It's time for Steve Gallimore Live. For the next hour, we'll examine the world around us through news, science, and philosophy. Then we'll open up God's Word to put it all into perspective. Now here's your host, Steve Gallimore.
Great to be with you today. Our topic is the mind. As you know, there is a lot in the news. We have shared that with you from time to time about the issue of the mind and spirituality. And of course, when we start talking about the mind, what controls the mind and what the mind controls, there is a lot of scientific research going on. We're going to continue a discussion that we have started about that with a guest that we had back a few weeks ago. In fact, he joins us from time to time, Dr. Tim Jennings. This is going to be a great program as we look at the issue of our conscience and our reason, what is to control our lives. I know that many of you will have comments and questions today, and we would love to have you give us a call. Our number is 800-775-4673, 800-775, and the word HOPE, H-O-P-E. That's how you can call and join us live on the air today. If you are on the HOPE channel, the North American feed, if you are on one of the many Life Talk stations across the country, or on one of the several internet feeds that we have, this is a live program. So pick up the phone, give us a call, participate. And it's a lot of fun when you do that. It makes the program so much better. So the number once again, 800-775-4673. Now, when you call in today, our guest has been kind enough to share a couple books with us. We'll do this once again by way of drawing at the end of the program. We have two of these books, and could it be this simple? This is a brand new release by our guest. It is already selling very, very quickly. We'll tell you how you can get one if you'd like to have one of these. And I know that you will enjoy the book. But we also have our guest here today who wrote it, and we're going to discuss parts of the book today. And that, I think, will really inspire you to go out and get the book and read the whole thing. It is very, very good. Could it be this simple? Could it be this simple? And we'll tell you where you can get that. But today we're going to give away two of those. And you can have the opportunity to have one of those free of charge by calling and joining the program today on the air live. The number once again, 800-775-4673. I want to take a minute once again to also remind you about the opportunity made available by the FCC. You're going to hear me push this over and over again, and you may already be tired of me doing this, even though we've only done it for a few days, because this is such a wonderful opportunity. It truly is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Now, we don't know, I'm not a prophet, don't know what will happen in the future. But we do know that this is something that is very, very rare and may never happen again. The FCC is opening a window of opportunity for more full-power FM non-commercial stations. And they are going to make those available sometime this fall. The exact date has not been set. We think somewhere around October. But in any case, if you would like to join together with us in sharing the good news of salvation with people in your area, I can't think of a better way to do it. And as I have mentioned to you before, everyone in your community has a radio. Most people have several radios. Radio is, in my way of thinking, by far the best multimedia way that we have to share the gospel. And there, I can't think of a better way, because if you think of, for instance, printed matter, whether you're talking about magazines or newspapers, whatever they may be, how many people actually get those? Well, think about that. Also, when you start talking about television, people listen to radio many more hours a day than they do television, because they have them in their homes, their car. Every time a person gets into a car, usually they turn on the radio. In addition to that, people all at work, many people have the kinds of jobs where they listen to radio. And everyone has several of them. There is not a more widely distributed media than radio. So, but the problem is they're hard to come by. It's hard to, not the radio units, but the stations are hard to come by. Well, the FCC is making this opportunity available, and we would like for hundreds of people to join together with us in establishing new radio stations across the country, full power radio stations. It is expensive. However, it is also possible. So think about what you can do. If you would like a full-power radio station in your area, you'd like to join together with Life Talk and proclaim the good news of salvation with people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, give us a call. Once again, this is all new to us. It's just been announced, but we do have people that are standing by. We're going to take your information, and then we will make all the information available to you as we get it and help lead you through the process. So once again, just use the number, the regular number, 800-775-4673, and tell them what you want, and we'll take your information and then make certain that you are kept up to date. Well, let's get back to the topic that we have at hand today. And our guest is Dr. Tim Jennings. And I know he's not a stranger to most of you because he's on this program from time to time with us. And Dr. Jennings, great to have you back with us. Should make certain that our audience knows that you are a psychiatrist, a practicing psychiatrist, and you have written this book. You're a Christian psychiatrist. And we're going to talk today about the issue of our mind and our ability to reason, how all of that comes together so that our lives are in control but also lived within the purposes of God.
Yes.
We're going to look in particular at chapter 2 out of your book, the topic that you have there. And we're going to discuss this, and I know that many people, I think, will really get engaged with this.
I hope so.
Well, I'd like to encourage everyone, call quickly. Some of you, wait till later in the program, and I know last time when Dr. Jennings was with us, many of you did not get on the air. So call quickly, join us, 800-775-4673. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Your thoughts and comments are welcome at 800-775-4673.
It's time for another chapter in the ongoing story of one family's finances in The Young and the Foolish.
Gwendolyn, darling, I'm home!
Oh, Roger, how could you?
Simple, dearest. I got in the car, drove home, and walked in the front door.
No, Roger, I mean this. You've got another, don't you?
Oh, Gwen, it's not what you think.
Oh, no? Then explain this. Last night, while you were gone, there was a phone call.
A simple error. A wrong number, perhaps.
Wrong numbers don't ask for you by name and account number. Admit it, Roger. You've got another credit card.
Credit card offers can be enticing, but be careful. The more cards you have, the easier it is to overspend.
Oh, Gwendolyn, please!
We can't go on like this, Roger. It's either me or the credit cards.
Wouldn't that be it's either I or the credit cards?
Roger!
Today's average family has 7 or 8 credit cards. As a public service, the producers of The Young and the Foolish urge you to be below average.
I've never been below average.
A Money Minute from Crown Financial Ministries.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about conscience and reason. What is to control our lives? How do they come together to give us purpose, meaning, and direction? Our number, 800-775-4673. We have this book, Could It Be This Simple, by Dr. Tim Jennings. He is our guest today. He is a psychiatrist, a Christian psychiatrist, a great book. And in fact, Dr. Jennings, I shared a copy of this with my mother. She has been visiting with us recently, and she did not want to put that book down. She read it from cover to cover, really enjoyed the book. And I know those that get this today, we only have 2 of these to give away, but you'll enjoy it if you get it. If you don't, we'll tell you where you can buy the book. And I know that in any case, that you will really, really enjoy it. A great book written from a Christian perspective. By a psychiatrist, and that's a wonderful combination, a Christian psychiatrist. Well, Dr. Jennings, there has been throughout Christian history this tension in the way that Christians and the church, I'm using that term in a general way now, has viewed the relationship between our conscience and our mind. We see this displayed down through history. We see it displayed even in our current religious milieu today. And that is, for instance, we have many people that will say, well, God showed me this, God revealed this, therefore I have no choice except to do it. We'll have others that will look and say, well, my mind, my reason tells me this is right and wrong, and that's the only thing that matters. What God says doesn't matter. What I feel about it and what I think about it and what I decide is the way to go is the way that it should be. And so we have this tension that exists today, has existed down through the Christian centuries, about what is to be in control of our lives. You tell a great story in the second chapter of your book. I'd like for you to share that with our audience today, because I think it really does get to the point of what we'd like to discuss.
Well, before I actually get into the story, let me just orient your audience to the various faculties that we're talking about. God created us in His image with faculties that separate us from the animals. And you've just highlighted 2 of those faculties. One is our ability to reason and think, and the other is our conscience. And the two of those together combined make up our judgment. What the story we're going to go into is about what happens when somebody's mind works with reason, but their conscience isn't working, or when somebody's mind is working with conscience, but their reason isn't engaged. In other words, something is not working in our judgment in order to have a balanced judgment. And the story that you...
Well, often in religious circles, as I was indicating just a moment ago, those two get separated rather than coming together. There's a dichotomy between the two, and some will specialize in one and some will say the other. And we find whole religious movements based on just what we're talking about today. Some will go one way and some will go the other. I started to mention some of those religious movements. I could mention them very easily. But there are whole religious movements that are in existence today that are based on one side or the other.
And there's a reason for that. We are in a warfare between Christ and Satan, which is a battle for our minds. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 tells us that this war, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. We're fighting a battle over truth versus lies for our mind. And so Satan has strategies to actually fragment the faculties of our mind so they don't work the way God does. Design them to work. And so it's not surprising at all that you will find movements where somebody is emphasizing one at the expense of the other, which will result in unhealthy thinking, unhealthy decision making, and ultimately unhealthy character, which is, of course, is the key.
Right.
The story about that you asked me to talk about is the story of Carlos. Carlos was a retired professor from a conservative college who came to see me. And the reason he came to see me, he and his wife were very religious, believed in doing many healthy things for themselves. And one of the things they believed was that if you live a healthy lifestyle, there'd be no need to take medicines or see doctors. And in fact, they actually believed that God would not want them to put such substances in their body that medicines would be sinful to put in their body, and especially psychiatric medicines. Unfortunately, after retirement, Carlos became depressed. He didn't just become a little depressed, he became severely depressed to the point of developing what's called psychosis. He lost touch with reality. He began to become paranoid. His thoughts became disorganized. They knew something serious was wrong, but they didn't know what to do if they didn't take medicine. So what did they do? They found a sanitarium in which the practitioners there believed also, like them, that medicine shouldn't be used. And he was taken there, and they treated him with herbs and hydrotherapy and massage and prayer, and he got worse. He became so disorganized that he began crawling around on the floor and smearing feces on the wall. His weight dropped to critical levels as he stopped eating. He got down to about 83 pounds, at which time the doctors put a tube in through his abdominal wall to feed him liquid concoctions. But his mental status did not improve. After about 8 months of this type of treatment, they brought him to see me. He was grossly disorganized. He couldn't think clearly. He couldn't even make really informed decisions. And so his wife, who was legal guardian, had to make decisions for him. I explained to the two of them together the importance of what medicines do, how they work in the brain, the molecular changes they make, how without medicines, brain tissue is actually being damaged right now. Neurons are being lost in this severe state. I reviewed with them the history of the 19th century where natural remedies failed to actually improve the treatment of these types of disorders. But they told me it would be better in their minds for him to die than to take medications. Here is people being extremely conscientious in their beliefs, but unwilling to engage reason to look at the evidence to make actually intelligent choices. The end of the story was he went back, he didn't take medicines from me, but 3 months later in the same condition, his son, who lived outside the country, found out what was happening, flew in, took dad away from mom, took him to a psychiatrist, put him on meds, and he responded within weeks. The psychosis cleared, he started eating again, and within a few months he was able to actually teach again part-time. Completely resolved, depression went away.
All right, and you use that in your chapter as an example of a conscience that it was uncontrolled by reason.
Yeah, an imbalance, the judgment. The conscience and reason together make our judgment. And here is a group of people. These two people were making judgments based on conscience alone without the balancing hand of reason. Well, there's danger on the other side, too. People who have decisions based on reason with no conscience, well, they can commit all kinds of criminal acts, take advantage of people, and rationalize and justify why it's okay to do so. So we need the two faculties together in balance in order to discern wisely and make healthy decisions.
Well, let's talk once again about some of these religious movements. Let's broaden this picture out and pick up on this issue that I think many Christians will be able to relate to. We want to look at it from a personal standpoint, but this goes beyond just the personal issues of life. This really does have a lot to do with religion in general. We have movements, for instance, and this is not to defame anyone, but Pentecostal movements, and they tend more towards, well, God showed me this, or I felt this, and these are things that we would call, a conscious awareness of this is what, I mean, it stands more outside of reason. We have others that will say, well, I don't want any impressions from God because I don't want to be deceived. Therefore, I only go with my reason. Therefore, I'll study and I'll understand the logic of all of this. Now, we know, of course, when we look at the Bible, when we look at the New Testament, we see both of these elements coming together. The impressions of God leading, directing our lives. We have it all through the Bible. But we also have that governed by reason. Read the writings of the Apostle Paul. Governed by reason. These two come together beautifully in the Scripture, especially in the New Testament. We see them coming together. But once again, in our religious views today, often we see these pulled separately, pulled apart, and the two don't seem to come together very well. But it would seem to me that if we are going to be holistic Christians, holistic may be the wrong word to use, but we're going to be whole, complete Christians, then really the reason does have to come together with our conscience, and they have to interact and communicate with each other.
No question about it. There definitely has to be balance. You actually, I thought, suggested another one of our faculties in there, that is our emotions. And some experiences that some people have are very emotional experiences, which are really not either reason or conscience, but the emotions that we have. And sometimes people will separate those out and let their emotions lead them rather than either reason or conscience.
All right. Well, we get back. Let's talk maybe as soon as we get back about how you separate some of these things out. And maybe it's not all that clear, but let's talk about that. We'll be back in just a minute. We'd love to hear from you. And we have this book, Could It Be This Simple? We're giving away two copies of this today by way of drawing, a great book. And we'll be right back. Stay tuned, 800-775-HOPE.
You can join the conversation now by calling 800-775-4673.
LifeTalk now streams on Live365.com. LifeTalk Music features the best music LifeTalk has to offer. LifeTalk Kids with music, drama, and stories all day, every day, just for kids. And of course, LifeTalk Radio featuring programs like Steve Gallimore Live, the LifeQuest series, Family Life Today, New Life Live, and Vibrant Life. Go to Live365.com and search for LifeTalk. That's all one word, LifeTalk, on Live365.com. Now you're able to listen to LifeTalk Radio via Live365 with your Real Player, iTunes, Winamp, Music Match, and of course Windows Media Player, and just about any other player that streams MPEG-3. Live365.com, keyword LifeTalk, all one word, on Live365.com. Now featuring live playlists for LifeTalk Music, LifeTalk Kids, and LifeTalk Radio. That's Live365.com.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about our reason, our ability to reason, and also our conscience. How do these things come together so that we can act as responsible Christians? Our number, 800-775-4673. You're welcome to join us on the air. When you do it, we have an opportunity for you to have this book sent out to you free of charge, Could It Be This Simple? Could It Be This Simple? And if you're on the Hope Channel North American feed, one of the LifeTalk stations across the country or on the Internet, this is a live program, so you can give us a call, 800-775-4673. We'll be happy to take your questions or your observations. And so when you join the program, it makes for a much better program. Our guest today is Dr. Tim Jennings. He is a Christian psychiatrist, and you hear him on this program from time to time, and it's great to have him back with us today. Dr. Jennings, as we went into the break, we were talking, of course, about reason, about conscience. You also mentioned that I, in passing, had brought in the issue of emotions. How do we really distinguish between all these things? I know that no one in the world really knows how the brain operates yet. But obviously, you have your doctorate in psychiatry. You're a physician with a specialty in psychiatry. We know some things. Help us better understand what we do know about how the brain functions and you know, these different things that we categorize, such as conscience, reason, emotions, and so forth.
Yeah, in general, and I go into more detail in the book, but we have the higher faculties that separate us from animals. Those faculties that reason, the faculties that worship, the faculties of conscience, and the power of choice to make intelligent, informed decisions that makes us sentient and aware. These faculties are part of what's in the very front of our brain, right behind the forehead, the prefrontal cortex, is the actual part of the brain where these faculties are contained. Deeper structures of the brain are where we have powerful feelings and emotions of various kinds. Those powerful feelings often lead us in directions that aren't very helpful. James tells us in the first chapter that no one should say God tempts, because God can't be tempted, nor is he tempted by evil. But each one of us are tempted when we're drug away and enticed by our own evil desires or feelings. And we all have these deeper structures that tempt us. And so as I understand how God designed the mind with the higher faculties of reason, conscience, and worship to direct that power of choice, known as our will, in the formation of healthy beliefs, ideas, engagement in healthy relationships and attachments. This is how things were designed to work. Because of Adam and Eve's choice, and I can walk you through that process if you want, Adam and Eve made a choice. Because of the choice, it actually damaged the balance of the mind. It does not work the way God designed it to. And now we have this infection that causes us so much trouble, these powerful feelings that lead us astray. And so we think about, you've mentioned the question several times, how do we make healthy decisions? What is it that is to lead us? I've heard you say here several times today. Well, ultimately, God is to lead us. God is to lead in the enlightenment of our mind, in the restoration of the balance in his image within us. But prior to sin, Adam was created with noble faculties, pure in every way. He was capable of developing right character by simply exercising the faculties God gave him. We on our own, left by ourselves, without God's Spirit working in our life, we can't do that anymore. We have to have his hand helping us, working within us, transforming us in order to develop that healthy character.
All right, let's talk about the conscience for just a minute. The conscience is not totally pure either. I mean,
right.
It's something that we have to remember, I think, is that we are sinful. The Apostle Paul, for instance, in Romans 7 and 8, makes this issue of the struggle very clear. We are sinful by nature because of the fall. The curse of sin rests on the whole earth. All
right.
Creation, the Bible says, groans under the weight of sin. So when we talk about the conscience, we are actually talking about part of the human mind through which outside influences influence us.
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, and the good analogy of the conscience is the physical eye. And some people call this the spiritual eye, the faculty in our mind that is sensitive to the movements of the Spirit of God. But just like your physical eye, which can be either very healthy in 20/20 vision, or can be farsighted, nearsighted, astigmatized, or blind, so can your conscience be healthy or unhealthy. And just like your physical eye, you can see things that are there, or you've heard of hallucinations where people see things that are not there.
Right.
Same things can happen with our conscience. We can get impressions that are from God, but sometimes we get impressions that are just of our own imagination, not from God at all, or even from an evil influence of some sort. And so information coming to our minds through the conscience by itself alone are not necessarily evidence that God is working on our conscience. We have to balance that with reason, examine the evidence to determine whether this is actually God or not.
There are many stories about people following their conscience, you know, the impression that they get. You note in your book one story, a positive story, about someone that had lost a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Recount that for us, if you would.
Well, it was a friend that has a prayer meeting in his office every week, and they have a group of regulars, and one of the guys showed up at the start of the prayer meeting group saying that he wouldn't be able to attend that night because their dog, which was aged and blind, had been lost. And he came just simply to ask for them to pray that they would find the dog, but he had to go home and help his wife search for the dog. About 30 minutes later, about 6:30, one of the guys in the prayer meeting group had this impression in his mind that the dog had been found in the woods behind the house. And he's told the group, hey, we don't need to worry. I just was impressed that the dog had been found in the woods behind their house. A few minutes after that, the phone call came in from the member that had went home to look for the dog, that they had found the dog in the woods behind the house, and he was okay.
All right.
Now, how did they know? Well, I believe that was his conscience being moved upon by the Spirit to give him the impression of what had actually happened.
Now, in psychiatry, of course, you could recount many, many stories of people that are impressed by conscience to do evil things as well.
Oh, there's no question. And in fact, you don't have to look into psychiatry. Think about people who have a conscience that's not restrained by the hand of reason. How about the people who burned to death in Waco with the Branch Davidians?
Right.
These people are very conscientious to burn, to die, basically burning at the stake, so to speak, when they didn't have to. Or how about people who would strap bombs on themselves and go into a supermarket and blow themselves up, or fly airplanes into buildings in the name of their God? These people are conscientious.
Right.
But are they reasonable?
All right. So then we have reason as the second step of communication from God. God created us with reason. And even our reason, of course, is not perfect, and we can talk about that. But as a second step, you have first of all, God makes himself aware to us through our conscience. But then that has to be governed by what God built into us, our reason, doesn't it?
Yes. In fact, it says in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together, though your sins are as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. He wants us to actually ask questions, to think things over with him, to examine the evidence. And the reason for that, of course, is Satan is the father of lies. What is it that destroys a lie?
Right.
The truth. But could you understand the truth if you never think?
Right.
If you never reason, if you never examine evidence, if you never ask questions, will you ever come to really know the truth?
Right.
No. So God wants us to exercise these faculties, and Satan wants us to turn these faculties off because he knows if we don't use them, we'll never be free from the lies that bind us.
Well, a lot more to come in this discussion. I know that we have a lot more to talk about. This is a very important discussion. We'd like to have you as part of it. 800-775-4673. And we do have this book, Could It Be This Simple? We're giving a couple of these away today, and we would love to hear from you. So pick up the phone, give us a call, and be part of the program. Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about reason and our conscience, how the two come together, and how they make us into the kind of Christians we should be. We're talking about that, and we would love to have your input. Let me ask you, do you find yourself guided by reason, or do you find yourself guided more by your conscience? Do you just simply do what you feel impressed to do? And in your life, how do these come together? We'd like to hear some of your stories today. So if you have stories that could be helpful to our audience, give us a call. Or if you have a question to ask of our guest, we have an expert guest here that is a Christian psychiatrist. And so if you have a question pertaining to the topic today, feel free to give us a call, 800-775-4673. When you do, we have this book, Could It Be This Simple? And this is a new book that has just been released. You can get this book at Come and Reason. We've been talking about reason some today. The name of the website is Come and Reason, C-O-M-E-A-N-D-R-E-A-S-O-N, comeandreason.com. You also can find it in any Adventist book center. You can order it from the Adventist book center online or find one in your local area. So those are different places that you can get this book now. And once again, the website is Come and Reason, comeandreason.com. So if you'd like to have the book, you can get it that way, or you can call in today and be part of the drawing that we'll have at the end of the program. And we're going to give a couple of these books away. Our number, 800-775-4673. If you're on the Hope Channel North American feed, the Life Talk Network, or on the Internet, this is a live program, so you can call us and participate. Our guest, once again, is Dr. Tim Jennings, psychiatrist, and we are talking about all of these issues and how it all comes together. To me, Tim, this is really a very exciting topic. It's kind of a head topic in a way, but it is also very, very practical.
Well, it's right where we live every day.
It is where we live. And I think sometimes it's good to sort some of these things out with a discussion like we're having today, because many of us walk through life and we say, well, you know, we're just a Christian, Let me give you an example. In current society today, many people have a religion where they just take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and it's whatever they feel good about, whatever they feel impressed. That's okay. That's okay. Reason almost gets cut out of the picture. Because it's just whatever, you know, we feel good about. But the Bible does have the issue of reason. I'm impressed, for instance, that the Apostle Paul, when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus, you know, we just went through Easter. When it comes to the resurrection of Jesus, Paul could have said, well, if it feels good, You know, if you're impressed that Jesus rose from the dead, then follow that. If you're impressed that something else happened, then follow that. But Paul went beyond that. Paul said, I want to tell you, because you're reasonable people, that there were all of these people that were eyewitnesses. We can demonstrate that Jesus really was resurrected. It's not just that we feel maybe that this happened or that we are impressed that it happened.
You know, God created us with dignity, individuality. He created us in His image to actually live lives that show what God is like. That's what He created the mankind to do. Satan seduced our first parents into sin, which damaged our ability to function in the way God designed. God actually wants to change us here and now, to empower us to live victorious again in His image, revealing what He is like right here and now. This is a battle that you heard on the news sometimes, the Battle of Armageddon, or people talk about this in religious circles. Right. They think it's some military thing in the world somewhere. It is a battle for the heart and mind of every individual person. We are damaged. God has a solution that will set our minds free here and now.
Yes, He does, without doubt. You know, the Apostle Paul said that today we see through a glass darkly. And he's really saying that we only have an imperfect understanding of spiritual things. There's coming a day when all that will be cured. Adam and Eve had a perfect view of spiritual things. We have an imperfect view, and the earth made new will have a perfect view once again. When we talk about our conscience, when we talk about our reason, both of those are defaced and somewhat defective because of the process of sin. But let's talk some more about how the two of those work together.
Well, I want to interrupt you there for a second.
Okay, sure.
And you said that we see through a glass darkly. That's a great opportunity to say, well, what does that mean? Does that mean, it is certainly true, we do, but does that mean that the glass has to be as dark as it is, or with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, working in our mind as we walk with the Lord as Enoch did, does the glass get ever and ever clearer over time, that even while we're still here, we can see more clearly after we've walked with the Lord a while than we did before we started walking with the Lord?
Yes, and I agree with that. There is a process by which we have a greater knowledge of God. I think there is a humbling experience, though, and that is the more that we know about God, the more we realize our deficiencies.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So I'm not disputing we see through a glass darkly, but some people take that and say, well, because we see through a glass darkly, well, there's no reason to try and see or try to understand more because God's ways aren't my ways. We'll never be able to understand the infinite. So we just take that on faith and we don't think.
Yeah, good point. And this is really what we're talking about, because there are those that simply follow whatever impression they might have and put reason aside, or vice versa. But when we go back to the Garden of Eden, you had alluded to this earlier, Adam and Eve did not have defective reasoning powers.
That's
neither
right.
did they have a defective conscience.
That's correct.
It was clear in the Garden of Eden when Eve stood there, this was not an impression that she was getting or something. Here was Satan being manifested before her, having an argument with her. They chose out of their perfect abilities to rebel against God. We find ourselves in a little different set of circumstances because we are defective today. But still, we can find ourselves in harmony with God's will. And as I look at what you have here in the second chapter of your book, how do these things of conscience and the impressions that come through our conscience and our reason come together to guide us in the best way possible in this life?
Well, what happens in any circumstance, and we could talk about a specific circumstance if you want, but in any circumstance, we have the responsibility to step back and ask the question, what is the truth? What is reasonable? What is healthy? Is this in harmony with God's will as I understand it? And also ask God, lead me in the way everlasting. And then we make a decision based on what's reasonable, healthy, true, with a clear conscience, and then make that choice with our will to implement that for the course of our life, regardless of how it feels. I'll give you a quick example. Somebody that is tempted to commit adultery, do they do that with their reason, evaluating the circumstances and a clear conscience, and choose to commit adultery? Or do those faculties get shunted to the side while powerful feelings take over?
Good question. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. 800-775-4673. When we get back, we're going to the phones. Your opinions, your ideas, your questions are important. And we'll pick up the phone as soon as we get back. Stay tuned. A lot more to come.
Do you have a question for today's show? Call 800-775-4673.
Do Do you long for a more intimate relationship with God? Are you looking for an abundant life and power to walk in God's footsteps? Then look no farther than the Bible in your hands. Popular speaker and author Shelley Quinn knows firsthand the power of reading the Bible and speaking God's promises aloud. She shares her insight in her new book, Exalting His Word, published by Pacific Press. Shelley Quinn will infuse you with a greater desire to study God's Word and to help you experience God's transforming power in your life. Let the Bible in your hands be God's power in your life. Get a copy of Exalting His Word today by calling 800-765-6955 or going to pacificpress.com. That's 800-765-6955 or visiting pacificpress.com.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about our conscience and about our reason. How do they come together to lead us in the Christian walk? 800-775-4673. Our guest today is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings. He has written a book recently entitled, Could It Be This Simple? I said that you have written this recently. You probably have been writing this for a long time, only recently published. And it is a great work. You will enjoy this, written by a Christian psychiatrist. We have two of these. We'll give them away as a drawing at the end of the program, or by way of drawing at the end of the program. We are going now to the phones. We're going to, first of all, to Mississippi, and we'll talk to Donnie. Donnie, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you with us.
Nice to be on the program. I love your program.
Thank you so much. Well, go ahead, Donnie.
Yes, my question is, where did the reasoning go in the United States? I mean, my grandparents' generation, it seemed like they were able to reason. And now people don't want to hear reason. They only want to hear what they feel, or either they want to hear a lie. They would rather hear a lie than to hear you reason.
All right.
You understand what I'm saying?
I do, Donnie. And a good reason. Sure, a good observation. Our guest is a psychiatrist, not a psychologist, but I think probably he'll have an answer for us. Dr. Jennings?
Well, there's multiple factors for that, but there is one social factor that certainly is playing a role, and that is the role of television in society. There's actually been interesting studies done that show that the more television watching children do, that the greater the risk of violence later in life and a risk of potentially developing attention deficit disorder, some recent studies have shown. The reason for that is these higher faculties of reason are contained in the part of the brain right behind the forehead called the prefrontal cortex. Television watching, when I say television watching, I'm talking theatrical television watching, not shows like this. But theatrical television watching actually suspends the prefrontal cortex. It's not being used during that type of television watching, and the deeper structures of our emotions are being activated. And you think about theatrical television, no matter what you're watching, it's designed to get an emotional reaction, whether it's laughter, fear, aggression, eroticism, or whatever it might be. It's designed to arouse the emotions, not engage the intelligent thinking. And thus, children who are raised on a lot of television grow up with the prefrontal cortex not as intricately developed as it might have been otherwise. And so there's at least one social factor that could play a role. There's other factors involved, but that's a big one.
You know, I'm not a sociologist either, but as Donnie was talking about that, it seems to me that maybe his observation is correct. And once again, this is an armchair opinion. I really don't have any data to back it up. But it seems to me that maybe Donnie is right, that we have entered into a time in society when people maybe have suspended reason. And I think you've given us a good background of one possibility of why that might be the case. And, you know, if people suspend the ability to reason and think things through rationally, where does that really lead society? And I think even more importantly, where does it lead the church eventually?
Yeah. And if you look at society, things have changed. In the Dark Ages, the church taught people not to think, and there was not a lot of reasoning. And then came the era of enlightenment, and people started reasoning and thinking for themselves, and then television has come along, and we're in
an
era.
It dumbed us down again.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Donnie, did you have something else to add to the conversation?
No, that was my only question. It's scary to think where our society is going to end up if we don't learn how to reason, if people don't begin to reason more.
Donnie, good observation, and we appreciate you calling in with that.
Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye. Let's go now to California, and we're going to speak to Jeanette. Jeanette, how are you doing today?
Very excellent. Thank you, sir, and I'm delighted with your program.
Thank you very much, and it's nice to have you on the air with us.
Thank you. Specifically, I'm addressing a theological issue, which is presumptuous faith.
Okay.
Versus what they talk about in Isaiah 1:18, which is a wisdom, which is understanding, which is reason, which is a proper application of the scriptures. And there's this tension in our world between that, even in the Christian world, of what people would like to deny would be actually biblically presumptuous faith. And there's this tension, continual tension going on. I'm supporting, you know, Isaiah 1:18, which is come with us reason together. I think that that's kind of what the Lord is speaking about when he says, no temptation shall come over you but that which is common to man. And God promises he will always make a way out.
Right.
I believe that way out is reason. I would like your guest to address this for kind of everybody.
Okay.
Kind of a common answer, because I'm really interested. A lot of times a person, they don't have any control over who they have to submit to and authority over them.
Okay.
At least short term. They don't have any control over that. They just have to submit.
All right.
Now, a lot of times people just submit without reason. Or
right.
A lot of times people will submit with reason.
Sure.
Well, this is the general thinking that it's a problem.
Right.
I know I've had that problem. And, you know, it's the spectrum is, well, A to Z.
Right.
Sometimes it's easy to pray for an individual or a group that you have to submit to. And, you know, you can turn the heart of a king.
Right.
Sometimes it's impossible.
Okay.
So people find themselves in all different positions on this spectrum
right.
of being under authority, and in many cases under authority, which really have lost reason.
Yes,
and,
Jeanette, you're exactly right. We have to go to break, Jeanette, so I want you to stay with us if you can do that. We'd love to have you stay with us through the break.
Yes.
You've raised a very important issue, and we need to address that. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned, 800-775-HOPE.
Has Steve made you think today? Tell us about it. 800-775-4673.
Inspired by the Bible Experience. Luke chapter 1, verse 39.
At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed,
"Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her."
And Mary said,
"My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation."
You've been listening to Inspired by the Bible Experience, a fully dramatized audio production of the Bible, performed by an unprecedented ensemble of top name actors, pastors, musicians, and more. Inspired by the Bible Experience from Zondervan.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about reason and conscience. How do the two come together to lead us in our Christian walking experience? 800-775-4673. That's how you can join us on the air. But call quickly because we are running out of time. 800-775-HOPE. My guest today is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings. And he is a wonderful guest. He is a Christian, as we've mentioned already, and also a psychiatrist. Having those two come together for a program like this is very, very important. And Dr. Jennings, Jeanette in California raised a very good issue. Jeanette, are you still there? Let's see if she's still with us. Jeanette, are you still on the phone with us? Okay, I think we lost Jeanette, but let's get back to the issue that she raised. She raised the issue of submitting to authority. You know, at what point do we submit to authority? What point do we not? I think is what she really was driving at.
She also raised the issue of faith, too.
Okay, yes.
And in the Bible, the word faith, as you know, comes from a Greek word, P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis, which really in our English today is probably better translated trust. Trust connotes that heart attachment and confidence in that individual person. And if you were to, if somebody were to come up to you in the mall that you've never met, a stranger, tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, can I have the keys to your car and the keys to your house? You can trust me. Would you give them to him? Of course not. If you can't trust a stranger with the keys to your car and the keys to your house, how can you trust a stranger with the keys to your life? That's why the Bible says in John 17:3, life eternal is knowing God. When we get to know him, we trust him because he's so trustworthy. He's incredibly trustworthy. And our trust is based on the evidence of his trustworthiness that he's revealed to us over time. So when people have this question of faith, and she talked about presumptuous faith, our faith in God is not presumptuous. It's based on overwhelming evidence of his existence, his reliability, his trustworthiness, which he's given in abundance.
Right.
And that's what our faith is established on. Regarding authority, as I understand authority, the ultimate authority obviously is God, and how we interface with that authority is truth. Truth is authoritative, and truth comes from God, the spirit of truth. And so to the degree someone is speaking truth, whomever that person is, they speak with authority. Authority doesn't come from the fact that you have president behind your name, or you have pope behind your name, or you have general conference president behind your name. What really makes your words authoritative is, are they true?
Right. Yeah. And of course, the Scripture has to be the ultimate judge of truth in this life.
And who's the judge of what Scripture means in your life?
Well, we have to individually, but I think collectively, there's no Christian that stands outside of the Christian community either. So it seems to me that there is it's not just an either or, because all of us are part of the Christian community. We don't stand outside of that. If we do, we almost become our own pope.
Well,
there's a balance, it would seem to me.
Well, see, when it comes to individual salvation, you have to be convinced. That's what Paul says in Ephesians. We present the truth in love. We leave people free. And in Romans 14, he says that every person is to be fully persuaded in their own mind on these matters of conscience.
Right.
That we can't dictate the terms of a faith for somebody else's conscience. So we present it and we leave them free. And if they don't want to associate with the organization, then when it comes to organizational matters, the mission of the church, what the church is going to do, of course we have to have agreement there, and individuals have to submit to what the organization says this organization is going to do.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to draw a real strict line of demarcation there. But there is, I mean, we know when we look back at the Dark Ages that you referenced earlier, that was a time of the abuse of church power, dominating over people's lives.
Right.
And so we had, consequently, the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther standing up and saying that my conscience is the only thing that has to be my guide.
Right.
All right, let's go to Marjorie in California. And Marjorie, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you with us.
I just want to make a comment, and I want to change it into a question.
Okay.
I teach my Sabbath school children, primary Sabbath school, memorize your memory verse every week, because even David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
Yes.
And when temptation comes, and I'm not a spring chicken, I'm up and over, but I'm just learning this. When temptation comes to you, pray in your heart that the Holy Spirit will give you a text with which to face Satan, because that is how Jesus did in his hour of temptation. He quoted, "It is written."
Yes, good
and
point.
So if we can make this a part of our lives from our early childhood up, when it comes to temptation, we will be fortified with the word, and then we can meet Satan on his own ground.
Yes, and that is a very rational, reasonable approach, Marjorie. Jesus was there, of course, in the wilderness of temptation. He was tempted, and as you mentioned, he had a scriptural answer for everything that Satan brought up. And Dr. Jennings, here's an example, good scriptural example, of how reason took over. Jesus said, I've studied this out. I know what the Bible has to say. And the reason I'm refusing you, Satan, is based on what is written.
That's exactly right. I mean, he knew the word. And he was, of course, the inspiration for the word.
Right.
But he knew the word, and he knew it was true, and he knew the principles. And I think she gives good guidance if, in fact, we read the Bible and understand the one who wrote it. But there are people who will use it as magic incantations.
Yes, that's true, too.
And they recite the words. Remember, Christ said to the Pharisees, "You search the Scriptures, thinking in them you find eternal life."
Right.
These are they that teach of me.
Right. Yes, exactly. And we find numerous cases of that in the Bible itself, where people used the Bible in a way that led them not towards the kingdom, but away from the kingdom.
Right. So I like the advice, as long as we are connected to the one who is the source behind the words.
It takes both. But Marjorie, you keep teaching those children to learn the Bible. That's a wonderful thing to do.
Thank you.
And we want to thank you for calling and adding that to the program today.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Well, we have just a very little amount of time. I had a number of Bible texts laid out here that we were going to share and talk about, and we really are out of time. One that comes to my mind that you and I had discussed earlier, and this is the one of Saul. This comes from Acts 9, verse 1. "Now Saul, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest." Here is an example of the individual that became the Apostle Paul being led, misled by his conscience.
Yes, he was conscientious, but not reasonable. He didn't have the truth enlightening the conscience. We might say it was an unenlightened conscience.
And what is interesting is here is a man that knew the Bible. The Apostle Paul was well-versed in the Old Testament Scripture. So he had the tools to reason this through. What happened, we don't know. The Bible really doesn't tell us. But he was very convicted. This is the way he should go. But, of course, he was walking down the wrong path until the Lord met him and gave him now a conscience experience like not many of us get. Well, he met him on the road to Damascus.
Paul had those preconceived ideas that were given to him in his childhood from other people, so he already thought he knew the meaning. Why have to ask further questions when he was reading it for himself? He already determined it meant all these things. And
right.
His mind was actually darkened because of false interpretation of the Scripture.
I wish we had more time to get into these scriptural examples. Some of them, I think, are very, very good and very telling. Dr. Jennings, thanks so much
for being
with us today. Thank each one of you. Thank you that called in, and we look forward to talking with you next time.
Thank you for listening to Steve Gallimore Live. We're here Monday through Friday to help you think critically about the current world events from a biblical worldview. We would like to say a special thank you to those who faithfully support Life Talk through financial gifts. You make it possible to continue sending out a clear and undiluted message of hope in a world that's pulling apart at the seams. For more information on how you can participate in this vital ministry, visit our website, lifetalk.net. Or call toll-free 800-775-4673. Thanks also to our research volunteers and our radio and television production teams. Please join us tomorrow for Steve Gallimore Live.
Connecting with Christ, this is Life Talk.
There he goes again. The neighbor's dog is bored, so he barks and barks and barks. You hear that? Yep. The teenager from down the street has his stereo up incredibly loud as he drives by. But you don't hear any music, just the boom, thump, boom, boom. Uh-oh. Now you hear a strange noise coming from downstairs around where the furnace is. That rattling sound just can't be good. Every day we're bombarded with noise. Some good, some annoying. We can't escape it, but we can enjoy those good sounds coming out of your radio. Turn it up and tell others how great Christian radio sounds.
We trust that what you hear coming out of your radio is a good thing. Help us continue to bring you more of what you want to hear. Thanks for faithfully and financially supporting Life Talk Radio.